You know, all the nostalgia and everything about the OU Nebraska, I thought that was pretty neat, you know, and they announced that they're going to get the statue built of the Selman brothers
that
down there.
That was great to
hear.
You
know, Coach has been talking about that for years. I'm not going to, I know where the hang-up was before.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it, but
right.
I mean, that, you know, and Coach, they had the money for that thing several years ago and the money for the same group, the Oklahoma Centennial Group was going to build a statue down there and the one of Barry Sanders, and both of them got nicks. But that was neat that they've gotten that thing okayed, and, you know, what those three brothers and being in-state guys and all that, that was really neat.
Coach, I was reminded of Larry Lacewell's quote when someone asked him, so who invented this rush three drop eight defense? And Coach Lacewell said, Mrs. Selman
yeah.
invented that defense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, Craig, and we've talked about it, as the story goes, should ask Switzer this sometime, I think I've heard him say, as the story goes, when Oklahoma State got Barry Price, the nose guard from Midwest City, that's when they went ahead and sent Lacewell up to Eufaula to offer Lucius. And then, obviously, the rest of that's history.
I heard Lucius on with Al the other night, and he's talking about that Barry Price story. And Lucius says, did you see Barry Price? Did you see what he looked like? He goes, I would have recruited Barry Price before me, you know.
Well, I mean, Price was a good player, really good player and everything. But, no, that whole scenario. No, it was – that part of it was pretty nice. Now, I was – again, I'll be honest with you. I thought Nebraska looked terrible. I really – now, I know I'm used to watching – this is a play like Nebraska. I know I'm from a different era, but
you're comparing them to the Nebraskas
well,
that you coached
Craig,
against.
Pat, if they were playing Bixby tomorrow, I would pick Bixby. I thought they looked terrible. I thought they looked horrible. I really did. Now I'm not sure.
Well, you told me that they're not going to win another game, and I thought, oh, they'll win some more games. And then we looked at the schedule. The only two possibilities I can find are Northwestern at home and Purdue at home. So they do have both those games at home, but that schedule is rugged, Pat. To run down, they got at Michigan State this next week,
right?
Then Northwestern at home. Michigan at home is no bargain because Michigan's rolling. At Minnesota's no bargain.
Right.
And then they got Purdue at home. That's winnable. Then Ohio State at home, maybe, because Ohio State wasn't all that impressive themselves.
No.
But then at Wisconsin and then Iowa Friday after Thanksgiving. But
I was really trying my own mind, and even listening to, Rozier and obviously, competing with those guys forever, talking about Nebraska. I thought, golly, it was but it's just watching, particularly at the start of the game, those big old linemen were walling around. They ain't won't block anybody all day long. Martinez, OU did a good job of keeping him from getting loose running the ball. He looks terrible throwing it to me. He just kind of aims the ball and lets it go. Now, I don't know what that says about coverage-wise for OU, but I did. I thought with just a few exceptions, Nebraska looked horrible. They're an imposter. They ought to take those ends off their helmet. Some kind of thing or something.
Well, Pat, I mean, you might be correct, but I do have to give it up to Martinez. I mean, we ripped him before the game. Maybe not we, but he was ripped by most people in the media. They said he was terrible and all that. Well, he went 19 of 25 for 289 and a touchdown. He only rushed for 34, but had a QBR of 86.5 against a defense that – we've bragged on and said this defense is back, so I got to give Martinez a little credit.
Well, dude. Now I'd start to get over Bixby against him personally, but he slopped it out there and hit some throws and slung it around. But
Pat, if that's what you think of Nebraska, what did you think of Oklahoma then? Because they barely won the game.
Well, I mean, OU's got enough guys that look like real football players to me and they can put some pressure on you up front. I mean, they're kind of all over the place, to be honest about it, in a lot of areas. I guess what they made a change at center at halftime. Isn't that correct, Matt? Is that the way that went?
I think so. I believe that's right.
Was it at halftime or before halftime? But anyway, but
I went to Rame during the course of the ball game. That bunch looks a little bit unsettled to me. We're aware of the lack of depth at running back because of all those injuries. I still think the receivers are really good players. I think they're really good players. you know, and you know, secondary wise, they're a bit nicked up. I mean, but they still got, they've got guys that look like athletes. Nebraska to me doesn't look like got any athletes. They really don't.
I think on Rain, by the way, I think he did that after two series, but go ahead.
Something like that. They, yeah. Anyway, made a change on him some kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, and all that sort of thing. So, golly, but I just, you know, and OU wins the game, which is the goal, obviously, but I sit there and scratch my head at watching Nebraska. I just thought they looked terrible. Thought they looked awful. But anyway.
So what are OU's problems? You know, offensively, Pat. I mean, 23 points?
Yeah.
If Nebraska's that bad, I mean, that means OU is something's wrong offensively.
Well, I don't think they're real good in the offensive line. I mean, I think they've got some guys, but I don't think they're real good there. I think they're still unsettled, you know, raw and a bit unsettled. You know, Nebraska, Oklahoma can put pressure on guys with their front people. You know, I'm not sure where they are in the secondary because, again, I don't like what Nebraska's doing. Or playing with personally, but I don't know. Now the flip of that is, OU could win all the rest of their ball games too. They could run the table. I still think that even given what we saw Saturday, OU at the end of the day will be in the Final Four. I do, because I think this league's not very good. But I mean, I've thought that all season long. So I think it would not shock me for OU to run the table, and that wouldn't shock me for them to lose a game or so, but it wouldn't shock me for OU to run the table because I think they got enough overall athletic ability to do it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Now Pat, I understand what you're saying when you say the league isn't very good, but having said that, and I'm not saying I disagree, mm-hmm. but having said that, I thought Saturday was a good day for the league.
It
given
was.
That OSU won a road game, that K-State, mm-hmm. but they were an underdog in that game. They beat Nevada by 21. West Virginia got a win against Virginia Tech. I wasn't sure they could get.
Right.
You know, and then Texas and Iowa State, I mean, you know, got blowout victories and so forth. So
Tech wins big, you know. I mean,
Tech won big. I mean,
I think this coach-wise, I think it's a very good league. I just don't think it's a very gifted league, although, you know, college football's all fouled up. But, no, it was a good week for this league. It was in that regard. It was. I thought, you know, Oklahoma State just gutted one out. It looked like to me that Oklahoma State's front people, I thought that was the closest I've seen them in several years to really play in a frenzy. I thought they really, really, really got after Boise. I'm not saying Boise's the answer, but Boise's about like the rest of these clubs in this league. They'd fit good into this league. But I thought Oklahoma State's, because they've, you know, now lost the safety. Sterling's down, but
out for the year, right?
I'm going to bet you, and I don't know this. I could find out if I wanted to, probably. But it looked like to me, just watching Oklahoma State run the ball, I'm going to guess, guys, that they kind of got out of the RPO business. And just started calling plays.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a difference there.
Yeah.
There's a difference there. You know, it didn't.
Right.
It looked like the backs, including the little Utah State kid. You know, they ran with Warren. You know, they looked like they ran with more authority. Looked like they knew what they were doing. There did not look like, and I thought the offensive line, which I think is patchwork on a good day, but at least they looked like they came off the ball a little bit better, which indicates to me they at least knew what the play was. But you know, RPO again, that's all riding to side stuff. You don't know what's going to happen until after the ball snap. Do the quarterback hand it off? Does he keep it? Does he throw it? You get into all that stuff. Plus, it puts I think they took a lot of the pressure, you know, off of Spencer Sanders and didn't ask him to do that because he didn't throw the ball very much. But
right.
Because the receiver core is all beat up and everything, and you got to
well, you know
give
what? That's what? Good coaching. Seriously.
Oh, well, to just do what you got to do.
That's smart.
And win the game.
Yeah.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Hey, you know, let somebody complain about only putting it up 16 times, whatever. That make any difference. You're 3-0. You somehow – and Boise's not that bad. But it looks to me like, I don't know whether Mike would ever say, because that's stuff they don't tend, any of them tend to talk much about. But I would imagine that they got out of the RPO business quite a bit and just started calling, run and play, call it and run it, run it. We call this, you run. They huddled up. You know, they played a little bit of a slowed down tempo and everything, and they hung in there. They hung in there defensively. I thought they really, really threw their visor. That was allegedly the call on that roughing the passer that he slammed him to the ground.
Coach, I have no clue.
Was there ever an explanation? I couldn't hear anybody say.
I don't think there was.
I know Mike was raising Cain with him. I mean, the ball. Did the kid get? He didn't throw the ball. He sacked him.
That's what I'm saying, Pat. How
they sacked him?
Did they say he squashed him when he took him down too hard or something?
In order to be a personal foul. Right. I mean, I still think that would be a bad call. But I could, right. At least that would. You could find a way to make some sense of that. How can you have a passer if he doesn't throw a pass?
Well, that's what I wondered. I'm sure.
I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't tell. I thought, wait a minute now, the ball get out of his hand. Look, and I'm thinking, wait a minute now. No, they sacked him, but they're calling roughing the passer. The only thing I could think of is, I mean, if the kid would have smushed him or done something to him, that would have been unnecessary roughness, which I guess, that was a weird call. That was a strange call to me. Of course, again, Oklahoma State called a break on that fumble, too, I think.
I think they both caught breaks.
But again, that part of it, those things kind of happen.
Those things even out, man.
They happen. Whatever happens. But I think the Oklahoma State defensive front, you've heard me say this over the years, that there's loafs, then there's acceptable effort, and then there's fanatical effort. I thought they really played in a frenzy with their front people. It's the hardest consistently I've ever really seen. You can play good and still make a tackle, but when you're trying to rub people out, I thought they really did a good job of that the other day with that front. And I think that's the reason they won the ball game, to be quite honest about it. That and running the ball but back to that issue, I bet they got out of the RPO business and just called plays and said, hey, we're going to run it. We're going to take this stuff off of Sanders as far as trying to read stuff. And then, hey, well, you got your receivers down, and we're just going to pick our spots throwing the ball as long as we can run it.
They went into the game without all those wide receivers, Pat, but then they come out and had four wide receivers on 7 out of the first 14 snaps.
But they got to defend that formation.
They got away from that, though, and then they used tight ends on 54 out of their last 58 plays. So, like you said, they just simplified it and said, hey, we're having success running the ball.
Call it and run the ball.
Yeah,
just run it.
Right.
Yeah. Don't try to read it out. Don't try to get into an either or. Just we're going to call it, run it, come off the ball. Okay, you got a back that's hot and worn, and let's pump in the ball and let him go. I thought it was a really good win. When it was 20-7, I thought, gosh, I still think Oklahoma State is going to win this ball game. But you don't have about one more point now, and you're out of business there. I thought that the kid tipped the extra point. I mean, not the extra point, but the last field goal.
I think he did too, Taylor.
And I read his remarks. It said he hit his fingers and everything, and all, but. And like Matt said, the breaks normally tend to even itself out. But, that's the first Power Five team that's ever played a game up there, isn't it?
I know Oregon played a game there.
Okay, maybe it's the first Big 12 team.
Maybe the first Big 12 team.
That's what it was.
I don't ever remember.
I think that was. I think it's the first Big 12 team ever play up there. That's what it was.
Yeah, because
that's a big deal.
TCU, I think, would have gone up there before they were in the Big 12. But, yeah, that's the first time maybe a team
from the Big 12.
From the Big 12 played there. Yeah.
Sure. So, good win. Really good win.
Roughing the quarterback.
That's weird. Strange stuff.
I mean, what'd they say? Unprotected or whatever. I don't know what
it was. The way it was explained was vague. I've been trying to watch Mike because he's raising all kind of cane. I don't blame him down there with that kind of thing and all. But I think you got to give them to get to 3-0. Obviously, this is a huge game now because the further you get into the season, they all get big. Here, K-State's coming in here with a good football team. This ought to be a really good football game.
Like we said, K-State beat Nevada 38-17, win by 21 in a game that they were an underdog and go in without their quarterback. Skylar Thompson's out and so forth. But, that's going to be an interesting game coming up 6 o'clock Saturday at Boone Pickens Stadium.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.